The first reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled, but there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you, as people rejoice at the harvest, and like warriors dividing the plunder. For you will break the yoke of their slavery, and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. This is the word of the Lord.
Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be knit together in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been made clear to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. And what I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 to 23. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. This is the gospel of the Lord.
The faith statement after the meditation. We are in the season of Epiphany. We have so far meditated three Sundays on this topic, Epiphany, and this is the fourth Sunday. On first Sunday, the wise man brought this news that the king of the Jews is born. That brought a lot of questions among the people, particularly that shaked King Herod and the people in the palace. The revelation came, the king of the Jews is born. On the second Sunday, we meditated on the baptism of our Lord Jesus. The heaven opened, a voice came, "This is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased." The revelation came from the Father, who openly declared that this is the son, my beloved. God's revelation is coming powerfully. Last Sunday when we met, we meditated on John the Baptist's statement, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the Lamb of God." He revealed who Jesus is. Jesus is the Lamb of God who forgives our sins, who takes our place for, and takes the sin of the world. And today we are going to discuss on how Matthew is introducing Jesus to us. Matthew reveals Jesus is the promised Messiah. He writes this gospel to show that Jesus is Messiah. More than the other gospels, he quotes Old Testament prophecies generously and shows how they fulfilled in Jesus. There are 68 Old Testament references in his gospel. 68 Old Testament references. What he says is that all that is being predicted, all that being prophesied in the past is fulfilled in Jesus. That's how he presents Jesus to us. At least 12 times he says the word fulfilled. These things have been said in the past, which is now being fulfilled in Jesus. So look at Jesus. He is the promised Messiah. He is the only Messiah. That's how Matthew reveals Jesus to us. The revelation has come, the sudden realization that, look, God is at work in this world. He sent his son, our Lord Jesus. In our Christmas season, we read from Isaiah chapter 9. Today, again, we read from Isaiah chapter 9. "The people who walked in darkness have seen the light." People who sat in darkness have seen the light. Now, we thanked God for that wonderful blessing that we received. Now, Matthew is saying that, yes, we thanked God. Now you enter into relationship with that Messiah. You thanked God for the light that has come. Now you enter and walk behind him. Follow him. Enter. Don't stay out, but enter. That's how he is presenting this passage to us. Now, what is this people who sat in the darkness, seen the light? He's talking about Zebulun. He talks about Naphtali. He talks about Galilee. Many things he is talking, these things have been fulfilled in Jesus. Now, Zebulun and Naphtali, one of the two of the tribes of Israel, both of these tribes were first attacked by King Assyria and captured. They were invaded, captured and taken into exile. The place is deserted, or the place is filled with the darkness and despair, no hope whatsoever. Now, 800 years ago, before the birth of Jesus, Isaiah prophesied that the light is going to come on that area. Light is going to come. People who walked in darkness has seen the light. The light is there. Now, Matthew is saying that Jesus is moving from Judea to Galilee. He did not make his mission center in Nazareth, but he made his mission center in Capernaum, which is in the region of Galilee, which is part of Naphtali and Zebulun. Now the light has come. The place which was filled with the darkness, now the light has come. The darkness is being invaded by the light. Light has dawned. We may say, the darkness is everywhere. Where is the light? We may say that. If you look at Isaiah, the entire book of Isaiah, you will see almost the entire book is filled with warnings and judgment and filled with the darkness, but he is talking about light. Light is shining out. Even during Jesus' ministry, during Jesus' time, it was filled with the darkness. Why did Jesus move from south to north? Because John the Baptist is arrested. And now he moves from there to here to Galilee to do the work. In the midst of darkness, this light is shining forth. There are darkness everywhere. The wars are raging. There are still shootings. There are still hatred and division. There are different shades of darkness. Even in our personal lives, we still face darkness. It may be a health concern. It may be a financial problem. It affects us. We live in the midst of darkness. There is still darkness. We might wonder, where is light? Isaiah is not afraid of acknowledging the darkness outside, but he boldly says, the people who sat in darkness have seen the light. He is proclaiming powerfully. And Matthew now says, yes, in the midst of darkness, this light has come. Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the region of Galilee, is seeing that light. The light shines. Now, how he puts it here is, we read verse 23 also, Jesus moved from place to place, preaching, teaching, and healing. And he proclaimed the good news, repent, the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is how the light is shining forth, preaching the kingdom, teaching the kingdom, and healing the people. This is how the light is shining forth. What a beautiful way the light is shining. We watch TV news all the time. Breaking news is the one that keeps coming on your news channels. Almost all breaking news is sad news or bad news. But in the midst of that sad news, in the midst of this bad news is the good news. Jesus has come. He brought the light, and that light is shining forth. If there is no darkness, there's no need of light. The world is filled with the darkness, and therefore the light has come. And the light is shining forth. Darkness cannot overpower it, overcome it. This light is powerful. And the light is shining forth. Now Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee. He is not walking as a stranger. He is walking as if he is one among the people. He did not come with a strange cloth like John the Baptist, nor he came up with funny food habits. He walked one among them. He walked not with any weapon. He walked not with any bodyguards. He came as an ordinary person to the people who were fishing. He looked at Simon and Andrew, said, "Follow me." He invited them. He called them. After walking a little more, he saw James and John and said, "Follow me." He goes on calling people. "Come, follow me. Come and follow me." Now, is God only calling now? No, God has been calling us since the beginning of creation. Heaven declares the glory of God. He has been talking to us in various means all along since the creation. But now Jesus comes to our level and meets all of us and says, "Come, follow me." He comes to our level and says, and invites us and calls us. His calling is very simple, gentle, humble, polite. He is inviting. You know, you might have attended some evangelistic campaigns, evangelistic preachings. They may use the word very powerfully, very, very strongly. "If you die today, where will you go?" You know, that comes in us as a threat. So before you go out, you say, "Oh Lord, I accept you." Or people, they come very powerfully saying that, "Repent or burn. You are walking on the edge of hell. You are storing up wrath for the day of judgment." These are all powerful statements, threatening statements. I'm not against that. I'm not even debating whether that is good or not. But that's not the way Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming gently, humbly, politely, and he says, "Come, follow me." If you look at Jesus' life, I think I have said this before, let me say it again. He is standing with open arms, inviting, receiving, accepting, welcoming, embracing. That's his style. It's not a threatening style. It is not intimidating. It is not pulling you down or pressing you down. He comes with that open arms and says, "Come, follow me." That's the light. We're very gentle. And Matthew himself is writing this on in Matthew chapter 11. Come to me, all you are weary and are carrying heavy burdens. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. Coming with that politeness. And he says, come, follow me. So this call is for everyone. This call is not meant for only a certain people. No, not at all. Matthew, a strong Jew, is saying that the light has dawned in the area of Galilee, in the area where Gentiles are also living. The light has dawned to all. The invitation is for all. The call is given to all. He calls all of us. That's the reason in our church we have come up with this golden book. He called us. And we want to call people in the name of Jesus. Call people. Come and experience Jesus. Come and be a follower of Jesus. That call has come. So we generously invite people because this call is for everyone. The light has come. Darkness cannot overcome it. Let's invite people. We have just written only 35 names. We have given a target of 2,000 names. Go, invite. Inviting is not a problem at all. Why don't you come to our church for this program? Invite, because this call is for all. Now, Jesus looked at Simon, Andrew, James, and John and said, follow me. The famous words of Jesus, follow me. Another famous words of Jesus, come and see. Come and see. Follow me. He said this to many people. And he said to us also, come and follow me. Come and see. You know, people who responded that call are called the chosen ones. Peter responded, Andrew responded, all these people are called chosen one. You have responded to the call, and therefore we call you are chosen ones. I have no true opinion to say that. You are all chosen ones, otherwise you would not be sitting here. You are chosen ones. But then the question comes, why did he choose us? Why did he love us? Who am I? If I ask him, why do you love me? He will say, I love you because I love you. His very nature is loving. His very nature is to embrace people. His very nature is to come to our level and to embrace us. So that's his nature. He chose you because he chose you. He loves you because he loves you. That's God's nature. Right from the beginning in his creation, God is always wanting to have fellowship with his people. That's his nature. So he chose you. He loves you. He embraces you. These people, when they responded to the call, they did not know how their future would be like. They were ordinary people, simple people, unqualified, unfit. They're only good for fishing. What else? Such ordinary, simple people became extraordinary. When we come and follow Jesus, that's what exactly happens. Unqualified, unfit. And we have been made extraordinary. We have been made fit, qualified for the task. So Jesus says, come, follow me. Their entire life changed. All these ordinary people became extraordinary people. They became the pillar of the church. They are the apostles of the church. The church is built on that foundation. Jesus is the cornerstone. Very simple response to his call, and they became extraordinary. So you have been chosen. But you remember that the chance of going away is very high among the Christians. The chance of sliding back, the chance of drifting away is very high among us. And that's the reason I thought I will come up with three things and then I will close our meditation. The number one is that if you want to follow Jesus, someone said this, when traveling through unfamiliar territory, it is wise to follow closely behind the one who leads us. Yes, otherwise we may lose that person who is going before us. Walk closely behind him. Now, during my time in the school, our parents were very harsh upon us. Education was very important. We know that education is not an option. It's a top one priority. So our parents would go to the teachers, our class teachers, and they say that, you know, if my son is not studying, beat him, hit him, pinch him, make sure that he studies. Leave both his eyes untouched. I don't know whether they do it during your time or they did it. Because education is important, there is no option. Make sure that he studies. You know, I put it in my Christian journey because I know that Jesus is precious. Jesus is pearl. I cannot afford to miss him. So when I started my Christian journey, I said this prayer. I don't know whether that's relevant, but I said this prayer, Lord, if I try to go away, hit me, pinch me, beat me. Make sure that I don't go away from you. The gospel that we carry is a precious gospel. God is not an option. God is the only way for us in this world and even and beyond. So we cannot afford to miss him. So that we had to have, Lord, I want to walk closely behind you. We are the followers of Jesus. When you follow a sports team or a sports personnel, you are an armchair follower. You sit at your comfort zone and watch them. Without disturbing your comfort zone, you remain the follower of your group or a personal. But that's not the way with Jesus. You cannot be an armchair follower of Jesus. You have to commit yourself to follow Jesus. There's no way. There is no way. You have to commit. He committed himself to be with our side. He committed himself to be our Lord, our Savior. How are you committing yourself to be his followers? Thorns and bushes grow on its own. You don't need to take care of those thorns and bushes. But if your life has to yield fruit, if your tree has to grow and yield fruit, then it has to be trimmed. It has to be disciplined. You have to have a disciplined Christian life. Then only you can be a follower of Jesus. The third one we read from 1 Corinthians in our second lesson. The Corinth church is known for all divisions. People were saying, I belong to Paul, I belong to Apollos, I belong to Cephas, which is Peter, I belong to Jesus. People were dividing themselves. They were grouping themselves. Paul comes strongly and says, who is crucified for you? Did Paul crucified for you? Jesus is crucified for you. You belong to him. All these people are workers in God's vineyard, but we have to follow Jesus. Now that's coming up very powerfully in our time. We try to take one preacher and we try to follow him, or we want to be part of one particular group or a denomination and say we follow that. No. We have been discussing about this. Let's look at John the Baptist model. He says, let me decrease and he may increase. He says, let me stoop down so that he can be seen. That's the model. We belong to Jesus who crucified for us. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. That's the model that we have to take. Jesus himself said this in Matthew, those who are not with me is against me. If one is not with him, is against him. Those who does not gather with me, scatters. If a preacher is not bringing people to Jesus, but if he brings the people to himself, he scatters the people. He chases the people away from God. So let me say this Bible words. Those who are not with me is against me. Those who does not gather with me scatters. I finish with this short illustration. I read about a rescue operation where hostages were kept in a dark room. The militants were heavy armed and they would come once in a while, throw some food and go away. They were kept in a dark room without any hope. And they were afraid of these militants. They were coming, shouting, screaming, and they were with heavy weapons. One day, the rescuers came in, but they also came with heavy weapons, and they asked the hostages to follow them. They had a very short period, and within that short period, they had to rescue all of them. They said in a feeble voice, come, we have come to rescue you, follow us. But none of them moved. They thought these people are again militants. They are coming and taking us to somewhere. No one moved. A soldier among the rescue team realized what was happening, so he disarmed himself. He removed all his weapons, threw it down, and he came to one of the hostages, put his hand around his shoulder and said, we have come to rescue you. Just follow me. He took his hand and started walking one by one. Everyone started walking behind him. Soon they were all in an aircraft to safety. Our Redeemer, our Savior left his glory. All his power and strength, he kept it aside and came into our form. And he says unto us, follow me, follow me. Shall we follow him? In him we have light, out of him full of darkness. May the dear Lord help us so that we sincerely follow Jesus closely. God bless us all. Amen.